before us to increase our faith in you.
And less in ourselves, in others, and in things. Lord, we struggle on this earth with the deception of self, the deception of Satan, and the deception of the world. And because of that, we have been motivated to act in many decisions based on fear and not on faith. Forgive us for our sins and trespass, Lord. We are unable to save ourselves, but we know that you are alone, our Savior and sin bearer, and the sin bearer of all generation past, present, and to come. Thank you for your true and deep, everlasting love for us. Thank you for not allowing sin to destroy us by our own decision, and thank you for protecting us daily from the snares of Satan, that he may not exploit our weaknesses against us to harm us, to harm our families, your church, our neighborhoods, or those in the world. Thank you for the gift and the power of prayer and for the groaning of the Holy Spirit on our behalf and on behalf of our families and the world who are suffering due to their sins and the sins of others against them. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit work on them and on us to deliver us daily from our sins and the suffering thereof, from our own defects of character and the maladaptive decisions, from Satan's snares, oppression, and position, the world of destruction. And may you dwell in our heart, in our mind, in our bodies, and make us your own temples all the days of our life on earth. Lord, we don't want anyone to suffer because of our own bad choices and decisions. Neither can we bear the suffering of our own and the suffering of other people's decision. I pray that your peace and the blessed assurance of faith and trust in your holy name, as Creator, Savior, Physician, and Healer, Almighty God, a God of life and blessing, and a God of all eternity, take control of our lives, especially during moments of uncertainty, time of danger and fear, time of weariness, and time of sickness. And may nations, all nations, experience the power of your love in a personal, saving, healing, transforming way unto the kingdom of the dear Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for the instruction and the knowledge of life you have given us in the Scripture. We pray that your Holy Spirit alone become our counselor, our teacher, our preacher, to convict us of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, who we are, where we are, and how to live a prosperous, blessed life on this earth. Take the reins of our lives. Keep us safe and secure in the straight and narrow path of life and blessing. We commit our lives and all of our decisions, right and wrong, past, present, and to come, to the faithful arms of your Holy Spirit, under the protective custody of your holy angels, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The next slide. There you go. It is true that most of our decisions are motivated by fear. And it is also true that fear is a gift of God. When God places into our mother's womb, he placed his fear in us as a protective shield to alarm us that there is danger, that there is uncertainties, that there are vulnerabilities in our life, and that we are in desperate need for his intervention, for his protection and provision at all times. But fear as love, as it has been a very good word, Satan also used it to make it a very destructive emotion. So let me ask you the question I ask myself every day. How many of your decisions have been made because of faith and trust in Jesus and his love versus because of fear?
We make an average 10,000 decisions a day. How many of these decisions were based on the fear of God, which is really the love of God? Anytime you read the word the fear of God in the Bible, it talks about the love of God. And how much of it is fear that we lose something we value and need, and therefore we forsake our faith in Christ and our faith in His Word, and we go our own. And it is true that if we make decision based on the faulty fear of Satan, the results will never be good. It may appease us for the time, but it will never be good. And it will bring about new events and new consequences that will bring about real fears. We have talked in the last few weeks about the torment of fear, and the Bible said that fear has torment. It's talking about the fear that Satan imposed upon us. And when Satan imposed his fear upon us, actually, it become a very mighty, sharp sword to sever our relationship with God and to cause us to doubt His power working on our behalf. And therefore, we forfeit peace. And when fear comes, it causes a host of problems. It causes emotional turmoil, great mental trouble, physical sickness, social disarray, and all the other problems that come because of that destructive nature of fear. So in review, today we're going to be discussing the fear of man is very tormenting. And you will discover, and hopefully along with me, how much of your decision in your relationship with others, whoever others may be, spouses, parents, children, friends, girlfriend, boyfriend, fiancés, your employer and employee, are your decision and your relationship with them based on the love of God or the fear of man? And if it is the fear of man, what is the source of that fear? We never take time to really identify the source of the fear, and therefore we don't deal with it properly. And we end up creating lots of problems in our lives. We have read the story of the disciples panicking for their own life. Even Jesus was on board. They did not recognize that He was on board, and they didn't go to Him until they tried everything else. And panic was the in ultimate control of their life. And when they recognized, that's it, they are finishing up, they finally recognized that Jesus was on board. And rather than going to say, Lord, help us and forgive us for trusting in ourselves and in our own resources and strength, they said, carest thou not that we perish? This means it's all your fault. Oh my goodness. A very bad attitude of ingratitude. And you know, many of us have had this kind of mind, blaming God for things that are happening to us and our families, rather than understanding the root cause of our fear. And we have also examined 1 Samuel, and we've seen that fear makes us look stupid. Because we behave stupid. And we have seen that in the story of David. He wasn't afraid of Goliath, was he? At that time, his heart and mind and soul and his faith was completely in God. He feared nothing on this earth but God, and therefore he tumbled the giant, destroyed the giant. And he wasn't giving credit for himself either. He was praising his God Almighty. And yet, listen, a couple of years later, we see him acting crazy, drooling and acting mad that he is insane, that he is psychotic. So that Abimelech, the king of the Philistine, the king of the Canaanite, would not kill him. He lost faith in what?
God.
In God. And began to fear what? Man. And he acted what?
Crazy.
Odd. And you know, many a time, because we decide that our needs are met in others, we lie, we deceive, we act
crazy. We move with our own emotions. And what is the end result of that? Nothing good.
Nothing good.
It brings about harsh realities to scare us for truth. And we have examined those very quickly, that fear and worry are natural instinct. Fear and worry speak to us and about us. Let's read the question. What am I afraid of? Something down deep tells me I have needs, and I decided those needs are sure, or those needs are really wants that we made them need. And we're going to examine that more today, about how liking something and liking someone can become a very devastating phenomena with a very catastrophic outcome, from like to destruction. From want to a very demanding need. And all of those of us who are suffering today, internal conflict is coming from that. We decided that many wants became needs. There are basic needs. And you know, many people today are giving up something very precious about them just for the need of food. They are selling themselves and their bodies across the world because of fear that if they don't do that, they will not be able to provide food and bread and water to their own family members. Isn't that sad? So we need to identify the cause root of our fears and then ask ourselves the question, what is the healthy way to deal with it? Is it through faith in God or fear of man? Fear of man humiliates us and put us always in danger. In danger of losing ourselves, losing good things about us, and losing the blessings of life that Jesus came to give. We're going to be examining that today a little bit more. Fear can be triggered by the past. Fear reacts to crisis in the present and anticipate crisis in the future. I already covered that. Pretty deep, yet pretty true. Okay? We already covered that, that people who are genetically predisposed of certain sicknesses, whether it's children or cousins, or my grandfather had this, or my dad has this, or my mom had this, and there's a big chance for me to have it, they live in what? Great fear, especially when they experience certain symptoms that may have absolutely nothing to do with the sickness. It's just the events of the past and what they have seen and heard trigger the crisis of today. And if they don't deal with those, with this type of fear in a very proper, healthy way through faith and love in Jesus, it becomes a very major crisis in the future. Okay? And fear is often attached to things we love, need, and value. Dread, panic, worry, and anxiety speak of our potential future vulnerabilities. That's true. How should we understand that in a healthy way? How should we respond to it in a healthy way? Fear often says, I am in danger, I am vulnerable, I am powerless, I am uncertain, and I could die. Fear leads to defensive and irrational behavior. Almost most of our decision is motivated by the destructive fear. Well, it shouldn't be. It should be motivated by the healthy fear, which is the love of God. Because are we living on in an uncertain earth? Is there danger around us every day?
Every day.
When you drive, even if you are following the traffic 100%, even if you are a good citizen and law abiding, is there still danger around you every day?
Oh, yeah.
How many times you open the newspaper and say,
whoa, my goodness.
A man and his wife and kid got shot and ended up in an accident because of a drive-by shooting. Danger is present. And according to what we see, and according to what we hear, and according to the word of God, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. But Jesus gives certain declaration and promises. How we should anticipate that fear and how we should be prepared to respond to it in a healthy way. Just like Paul and Silas in prison. Just like Daniel in the lion's den. Like all of this prophet. They faced the fear of Satan straight with daring aptitude. And that's what Jesus said. Don't fear him who killed the body. But fear him who is able to destroy body and soul. The devil is trying to get down deep in us. If he got down deep in us, we lose everything. Okay? And that is what we're talking about. We need to recognize that fear is present, danger is present, uncertainty, vulnerability is always present. You will always be challenged in school. If you don't do your homework, if you don't study for the midterm, if you don't do this, you're going to fail. Now ask yourself the question, why are you afraid of failure? Let us say academically. Why are you afraid to fail at your job? You know, many people say, I need to go to school, mm-hmm. right? I need a job. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Yes.
What are they really saying? My security, right? My security is attached to a degree. And my security is attached to my job because my job provides me the money to provide me the food, the water, the shelter, and everything that I need. Now, is that real or is it imagined? It is very real when you think of it the earthly way. It is very imagined when you look at the harsh realities of life. Those with degrees and those who are without degrees face the same danger every day. Those who are rich and those who are poor face the same danger every day. Those who have jobs and those who don't have jobs face the same danger and uncertainty every day. And circumstances can change in a second. To convince you, now you don't have a job and now you cannot go to work. Where is your security? How many people lost their jobs?
Thousands.
Where was their security? Did it work?
Amen.
This is imagined. And that's why I say we need to examine the root cause of our needs. And secondly, ask the proper question. Anything you believe you need will control your destiny. Should I say that again? Anything you believe you need, if it's a thing or if it is another human being, if you need the love of somebody, and if you go about it the wrong way, it will control your destiny. And guess what? Nobody and no thing will ever provide you with your true needs. That's scary or what? Does it make sense?
Yes.
If I have placed my security on Sandra's love, how many times Sandra will fail me? And what will happen? If she as a human being is struggling of her own and she cannot love me in every way that makes me feel the person I need to feel. It's a problem. I'm going to be going through my next slide, please, Lisa. Fear of other is torment and destructive. Let us read a story in the Bible about the people of God. After God had blessed them with signs and wonders and provided their every need, and after he revealed himself to them in a very personal way. Imagine, there is no flashlight and there is no artificial light. During the day, God appears to you by cloud and leads you in the wilderness. Just follow the cloud by day. And as you follow the cloud by day and by faith in him, there are lots of danger in the wilderness, isn't it? And you have lots of needs. The wilderness is barren. There's no food. There's no water. There is no shelter. You're exposed to all of the element.
But as long as you place your fear in me and follow the clouds by day, I will provide their every need. And by night, snakes and scorpions and many things can come and harm you in the wilderness. And yes, you cannot see anything. Yes, you are in danger. Yes, you are vulnerable. Yes, you are out of control. You cannot control the elements. And you cannot control danger because you can't even see it. But if you follow the pillar of fire by night, I will dispel all of your fears. And I will care for you by day and by night. And the people of Israel experience that every day. Every day. And then the Lord came and gave them even a greater promise. He told Moses, listen, even though you are struggling and even though your people are murmuring and even though you are just human, you believe and you don't believe, I have some great news for you. You cannot be just wandering pilgrims in the desert all of these years. Listen, I'm going to give you the land of Canaan, the promised land, the land of milk and honey. The people who dwell in it are heathens, non-believers, and they love themselves, and they are there destroying themselves and others, and they refuse to believe in me. I'm going to give you this land that I have really promised to your father Abraham. All what you need to do, Moses, I want you to elect a man from every tribe who is a leader and who is respected. And I want these 12 men, the 12 spies of Israel, to come out and to go to Canaan land. I want them to look at the fields and how rich and fruitful it is. I want them to look at the herds. I want them to go and see how strong and weak the people of these nations are. I want them to go and to come back with a report to the people of Israel, for I am determined to give you this land for your own possession that I have promised to my servant Abraham. Is that a bad thing? Good. Don't we all want to prosper?
Yes.
Don't we all want to prosper? Don't we all want to be blessed? And in Numbers chapter 13, open your Bible with me. Open your Bible with me. Moses, in chapter 13, did talk to all the leaders of Israel and did elect 12 men from the 12 tribes. Among these were Caleb and Hoshea, or Yeshua, or Joshua. And I want to start with verse 16. Listen to what Moses said, and listen to how he said it. And I want you to observe this and analyze it. Moses will be highlighting and implanting a new need in the heart and mind of the people of Israel. Verse 16. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, that is Joshua, the son of Nun, which is Yeshua. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountains and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. He said, I want you to go and spy it. The intent of God in that, he wanted to show them the blessings, and he also wanted to show them the great danger and how strong and mighty and scary these people are. So when he gave them this land without firing a bullet, that was the plan of Jesus, to give them all of this land without any war, so they can believe that he is the Almighty God, that they can trust all of their lives and all of their fears all the days of their life unto him. And that's why Moses said, go and see how good the land is and how scary the people are. And verse 19, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they may be that they dwell in, whether it be in tents or strongholds.
He wants them to go and see everything for what it is. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So Moses has been already aware of what is going on. Now he wants the 12 spies to go and see it and come and report it to their every tribe. So they went up and searched the land for the wilderness of Zin unto Rahob, as men came to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. This is the children of the giants. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranate and of the figs. Do you see how big the grapes were? Heavy clusters of grapes on one branch. Two people had to carry it on a stick.
Wow.
You see how rich was the soil in the land of Canaan?
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty rich. And so they picked up some to bring it back home. The place was called the Brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from Senth, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. You know, we believe that our success and prosperity is in a good job, a good place. A place that is full of milk and honey. A good degree. And that is what the world tells us. And that is okay. That's part of our existence on earth. I know people who live in great prosperity who never been to school. And I know people who are very, very blessed even though they have very little jobs. But I also know others who have good jobs and good degrees who are living in misery. So we identify our needs in all wrong ways. And here it is. God is trying to teach Israel a very important lesson. I'm sad to tell you, only two of them got it. So let us continue. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. That's a good sign at the beginning, isn't it? And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sendest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. So that was good. That was good. He said, this is so true. This is indeed a land of plenty. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Now they began to beat the drums of what? The drums of fear. The blessings are there. But there is no way we will even dare to go against those people. They have stronghold. They are giants. And we are midgets compared to them. When you keep counting the many different things that prompt fear in your heart, as a man think, he becomes. So for a moment, they completely forgot what? The promise of God. Did you see that? Done. Fear has taken control. And fear always desires to take control. And fear does not trust easily. And here they began to implement the dreads of fear in their own mind, and now to the tribes of Israel. And verse 29, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. One person see it completely differently. You know why? Because his heart and mind was in tune with God. He saw the great excitement to trust the promises of God and to turn all concern to him. If God said, you will possess it, we will possess it. Did you forget the cloud and the pillar and the plagues of Egypt and all of the miracles? Why can't he do that? I only see the promised land.
Uh-oh.
Others saw giants and they surrendered to the drums and the panic and the worries of fear. They became slaves. Others surrendered to the almighty power of their God and Creator, who promised to do what he is always faithful to do. So Caleb said with excitement, you know, if you have 12 spies, 10 of them are talking fear and dread, and 2 of them are excited, you will think that those 2 are nuts. Right? Majority rules. The majority of humanity are making destructive decisions because of fear. Think of wars. How many wars we had already?
Oh my goodness.
How many wars are going throughout the world today? What is the motivator of that? Fear. And fear can be real or imagined. To go to the Iraqi war, we had to instill fear in the mind of Americans and in the mind of the world that this man have weapons of mass destruction. What does that tell us? My life is at jeopardy. I am in danger. I am not sure about tomorrow. Therefore, I have to support the government, even if it is not true. And after the death of thousands of soldiers and the death of great many people and the destruction of the country, there were no weapons of mass destruction. We have caused lots of destruction. Did you see what fear does? If you act on fear rather than on faith in Jesus, the outcome will always be no good. And so Caleb said, let us go and do it. 31, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we. They are reinforcing and reasserting their fears. We insist to act on our fears, not on faith. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. One enforcement after another enforcement. Self-talk. I want fear to rule over my life. And when fear rules over my life, we always forfeit the blessings of life. Do you know what is the most enumerated commandment in the Bible? What is the commandment that is spoken of the most in Old and New Testament combined?
Thou shalt love your neighbor as thyself.
Very good. That was mentioned only about 4 times.
Okay.
Fear thou not. Over 350 times. As if God knows the tool that the devil will always use to steer his people away into danger. If God have told us, fear thou not, be of good courage, Yes, your life is vulnerable. Yes, you are in danger. Yes, the devil is roaring as a lion. Yes, you have lots of needs to live on this earth. Yes, you have lots of wants. Yes, you struggle with sin. Yes, you feel the consequences of sin. But fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness, for thou art mine. And all them that shall rise against you shall be incensed and confounded. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah chapter 41. Fear thou not. In the New Testament, what is the word that Jesus always used when the disciples were panicking? Fear not. Fear not, ye of little faith. And here, they decided, regardless of what God has done before our eyes in Egypt, regardless of parting the Red Sea and the Jordan River, regarding of the manna that came from nowhere, from the skies, regardless of the pigeons and the quails that God has provided from nowhere, regardless of the pillar by night and the clouds by day, they could not see the power of God. They could only see the dreads of fear. Why? Because they trusted in themselves. That's it. I want all of what they've got, but I'm scared for my life. I'm scared for my life. Fear of man has torment. Let's go to chapter 14 quickly. And all the congregation, look at that. Fear is very contagious. We can pass it to our families, to our children, to our churches, to our communities, to our countries and nations of the world. And all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. Now, slowly but surely, fear will become a very aggressive behavior. And you will see it now, and we'll see how it works in our lives today. When fear is not contained, when it strikes the hearts of man, when it is not dealt with it properly and spiritually, it exacerbates and become a very destructive emotion. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Here you go. Take the leadership down. Take the leadership down. Now their fear turned into anger. Did you see that? Because they felt now they are out of control and their hopes are dashed. There's no way we'll be able to take this promised land. Why did you get us out of Egypt? As if he forced them out. Did Moses and Aaron force them out? They were enslaved and beaten up every day, and they've been given food for the labor 430 years. And God had performed miracles, and they have seen his power destroying Pharaoh and his army and got them out to give them the promise. Now, we don't want to do anything. We want everything for nothing. And since we are not going to get it for nothing, we're going to try to destroy the servants of God. They became very angry with Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation, what a sad thing. Did you hear that? The whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we have died in this wilderness? Hopelessness. Fear resorted to anger, and anger to hopelessness. And wherefore has the Lord brought us unto this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt now?
Wow.
Needs were very attached to things. To things. If we got the promised land, the milk and honey and everything, then we and our children, our wives and our families are secure. Now that they believe that they are not going to be able to get this land of milk and honey, now they began to fear that their life and their children will be harmed and will die in the wilderness. Fear is a very disabling emotion. The place was called the Brook Eshcol, verse 4. And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain." Am I right there? Yes. "Let us make a captain and let us return unto Egypt." Here it is. Fear always causes us to retreat to our old destructive habits and life. Did you see that? Did you hear that? Many people, young people, for instance, the Lord saved them from destructive habits and life, and finally His love gets hold of them, and they begin to believe with their mind that God has always been there, and that God is there, and God will provide all of their means, and they begin to come to church. Needs for relationships, okay? I need to have a boyfriend, a girlfriend. I need to get engaged. I need to get married. Cause them to invest in that. And many of them just go to church and the Lord will provide somebody. And they go to church and they feel that urge and need. To date, to do this, to do that. And when it is not provided, the old enemy of fear strike hard at their soul. You need it. You can get it. Why don't you go back to your old ways? You know, it's easier. You were getting it much easier then. Who's talking?
Satan.
Striking fear so they can retreat back to Egypt. Retreat to their old ways that almost destroyed them and destroyed others. And that was fear does to all of us. You know, I better count back on my old techniques. And that is very serious because guess what? Jesus warned that. If I save you from that all of these years and I show you my blessing again and again and you want to go back, listen, Satan will come back with 7 more demons. And the end of this man is worse than his beginning. And I have seen that happening to people because of their choices, not because of God.
Right.
They don't want the life of security in and through faith in Jesus. They want a quick fix. They created their own needs rather than dealing with them properly. They dealt with them improperly. And they want it now that the people of Israel. And they don't want to invest. Listen, to have a relationship that is successful, you need to have character, don't you? To have marriages that last, you need to have character. And if you just came out of Egypt with all of these blemish characteristics of sin, and you are struggling with all of this, what kind of relationship are you going to have? Don't you think you need to go through rehabilitation first? For God to give you that promised new heart and new mind and new spirit to change your old thinking and your old tools to throw it away. And to equip you with new tools, with new character, that you may have the best of relationships. The people of Israel did not have the character to inherit the promised land. They were still tainted by all the traits of character they developed in Egypt. The Egyptians were stiff-necked, and they were stiff-necked. The Egyptians wanted their blessing by force, and now they want it by force. And God sent them to see all of the blessings and all of the dreads so He can show them His might that they may trust Him, but they didn't want that. They wanted to go back to Egypt, the old ways. Be very, very careful. Fear can take you away from the ark of safety and place you into the devil's bosom. And you know, your own family members who are not connected to Jesus could be used by Satan to take you back there. And then suddenly, you're speaking like the old person. Suddenly, you're getting dressed like the old person. Suddenly, all of your emotions are going out of control, like the old person. Suddenly, you develop a great hunger for the old past evil to satisfy the affection and the attention and the love you think you need, like the people of Israel. They said, we need captains. This means we need some help from our own families to drive us back to Egypt. That was quite sad. And verse 5, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Listen, they really wanted to kill Moses and Aaron. As if it was their fault. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Shephaniah, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. Here is two brave men. Two brave men, along with Moses and Aaron, who took their stand, who acted with complete faith in God, and were not afraid of the people of Israel or what they can do to them. Like Daniel in the lion's den. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amidst all the fears of fire and the endangerment of being eaten up by lions, they trusted that it is God who is in control of all creatures. And if God be for us, no power can stand against us. So here is these two men stood up, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search, it is an exceeding good land. Again, trying to instill life and hope through faith in God again. If the Lord delight in us, here it is, trying to remind them, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land which floweth with milk and honey. If God delight in us, and if we believe on him, this land is ours. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. You know, here is what is very scary and what we should be careful of. If we go through the stages of fear, and if we slowly surrender, then relinquish to the demon of fear, it becomes very, very, very hard for us to trust the promises of God. Because fear has what?
Torment.
And fear have major chains. Major chains. And here the Lord sent these two people, not just to be leaders, but to be counselors in righteousness. They covered the whole issue. They used the positive enforcement first. The land is good. We have been there. We have seen it. All of these defenses and all of these giants are nothing. They will crumble before us if the Lord delight in us. Don't rebel and don't disbelieve the promises of God. Just surrender to him. Surrender to him and do not be afraid of the giants. How many giants have we erected in our lives to satisfy great many needs? You know, the Lord is able, as he has crumbled Goliath the giant before a shepherd boy, is able to crumble all of the giants in our life. We just have to surrender it to him. Surrender it to him. Talk to him about it. Identify your real needs, not this manufactured one. Okay? And talk to him about it and trust his word and walk ye in it. Whether the problem is spiritual, a spiritual giant, a mental giant, a physical giant, a social giant, an emotional giant, a need, a financial giant, a political or legal giant, it doesn't matter. He wanted us to go through a land. He wanted us to experience all of these giants, that we may come to Him, that He may reveal to us His might and power on our behalf. He wants to fight our every battle, because when we see the giants, and when we come to Him, and we see the giants falling flat, then our faith in Him increase and our fear decrease. So we become courageous and emboldened. So now that this wonderful man have given him the powerful message in one verse, how will they respond to it? Verse 10, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones. They wanted to kill them. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. That's what stopped them. They wanted to kill them. You know, when you say, I have need to be loved, okay? I have need to be approved of. And I think my need will come through this person. Listen to this. That's what's happening. That person, really, if they just act the way I want them to act and give me the thing that I believe I need, I will feel good about myself. So here's what happens. The relationship began by, I like that individual. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I need something from them. And we began to invest in that. Words, emails, texts, gifts, whatever it may be. Wow. Now there is absolutely nothing wrong with loving another. Mm. Not based on needs. Mm. Hear me again. Not based on needs. And not based on wants. That becomes natural if we have received and experienced the love of Jesus for us. Simple. So, I like. And we invest a little bit. If we do not get what we think we need, it moves to the next stage of fear. We invest a little bit more, and we demand a little bit more. And we use the word, I love that person. And maybe that person is in a far valley away from where you are.
Oh my goodness.
I love that person. And when I don't get what I believe I need, or if I got just a little of it, it reached the third level. I demand the love of that person. And when I still don't get what I think I need, I become angry with that person. Because he or she did not give me what I believe is rightly mine. Mental sickness. It's a serious spiritual sickness, mental sickness, emotional sickness. And from there, things can get pretty ugly. Especially now, if you recognize that that person is sharing more time or investing little things of his or her life with somebody else. Then we become violent and we want to stone that person. And that's why many crimes are being committed. That's why many kids and many adults are being hurt. Do you see? We identified our needs wrong. Do we all need love?
Yes.
Absolutely. We cannot live without love. You see, food is a need. Water is a need. Shelter and security is a need. But what is sad is this. When those basic needs are met, immediately we have a serious need for emotional love. Prior to that, emotional love is not important. Our existence is important. And you know, many people in this world sell their bodies to satisfy the basic needs. Not because they want to be loved, but they want to live. But many others are demanding the love of others. And those relationships always collapse and end up in crisis. So, do you need the love of your mom and dad?
Yes, I do.
Do you need the love of your siblings?
I do.
Do you need the love of the opposite sex? Someone special? Be very careful. We need the love of God in all of them. We don't need their love. Okay? Here it is. Because if I say, I need something, I am controlled by what I need. So if I say that I need the love and the respect and the approval of Cole. Cole is a human being who struggles just like me. Many a times over, he will not be there. He will not be able to give me that love and approval and respect. So how will my relationship become with Paul, with Cole?
Poor.
Kind of shaky.
It's going to be shaky. It's going to be poor. And you know, there are many people like that today. Many friendships become very sour and turn into animosity.
True.
Because, oh, I thought he's my friend. I've been there for him. I invested in that relationship. I want something back. And here when I need it most, he's not there.
Oh, wow.
You know, I love my mom. I love my mom even though she's 1,000 miles away. I love my mom even though she cannot meet any of my needs. Surprise. Surprise.
Why? It shouldn't be a surprise.
Because we say we want our parents to love us. We want everybody to love us. Well, they do, with the love of God.
Right.
If our existence is dependent upon the love of others, we are setting up ourselves to a very bad conflicting relationship. And that is the reason why the people of Israel failed and wanted to stone Caleb and Joshua, Moses and Aaron. Why? Because they trusted that these people will satisfy their needs.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that? Who satisfies the needs of humanity?
God.
We cannot live without love. But the love that we have learned from this word is corrupt. Okay? Corrupt. Destructive. And we need to unlearn it and learn about the true love of God. When the people of Israel came out of Egypt, they were corrupted. They learned the love of self. The love of things satisfy their needs. And it failed. And now they transferred that into the love of Moses and Aaron for the wrong reasons. That did not work. Even though the men were telling him, yes, we're going to get you there. No! You got to do it for me. I demand that you do it for me or you're a dead man.
Oh my goodness.
That's why relationships always suffer. That's why we have conflicts. In Jeremiah chapter 17, the Bible said, cursed is the man who trusts in man and make flesh his right arm and whose heart depart from the Lord. Did that happen in Israel?
Yeah.
Those are the torments of fear. I'm going to continue the sermon next week, but I'd like to go through this very quickly so you can take it with you. And I hope that we make changes. We can. We need love. And we can live by the power of God's love in us and through us and to others. And next week I'm going to teach you and share with you the power of imbalanced love. I do not seek a balanced love in any of my relationships. Did you hear what I said? I mean it. I do no longer seek any balanced love in any of my relationships. If I did, I am setting up myself to a serious, serious trouble. And unfortunately, that is why relationships fall apart. We are seeking balanced love. Impossible. Our relationship with God is imbalanced. His love for us is 100%. Our love for Him is how many percent? But we demand from others to love us 100%, even if we did not love them back. That is not exactly the healthy way to live. The people of Israel had this problem, and we need to learn why their life was driven by fear and where did fear lead them. Israel's problem was not the overestimation of their enemies, but the underestimation of God. How many of us are underestimating God in our choices and decisions? Listen, this is our choice. Our God is a God of freedom. He gave us our own choices. He said, trust me, not you. He said, you're going to be a curse if you trust your needs into another. It's a fact. In all of my counseling with people, when I listen to that. Okay, I see all of the hurts. I see all of the conflicts. I see all of the confusion. I see all of the problems. How much of it is trust in self and others? And then we have to undo this. We have to learn to connect the branch to the vine that it may bear the fruits. Not into another branch, into the vine. Their problem was not so much that they experienced fear. It was not. Fear is a healthy phenomenon. But that they trusted their feeble powers in contrast with the enemy and turned away from God when they were afraid. That's why I said fear is very healthy if it leads you to who?
God.
To Christ. And to faith and trust in His word. Acting on His promises. And fear is a very destructive phenomenon. If you turn to yourself, to others, or to things. So, you can spend time today reviewing the outcomes of your life. Review your relationship with others. Do you have needs for this? And are your needs based truly on the love of God for them? Or is it based on the demands of love from them? Demands of love from them? I don't think that relationship is going to last. And I don't think you will ever have any successful relationship with anybody else. Unless you know the love of God for you and how it works through promises and decisions, you will never be able to love anybody in the truth. And you know, if you have the love of God in your heart, it does not matter how much people love you back. Does not matter. You love. You give.